First, I'd just like to start off in saying that it's really an honor and a privilege to be a part of this. It's as I was telling my Belubam before, growing up in Brooklyn, I didn't have a chance to. I love Brooklyn, but I don't want to make fun of it at all. But I never had a real chance to be part of an unbelievable community, and the concept that there's an organization that takes initiative to bring the community together and have them work to achieve growth is something that I feel I've been lacking a little bit, and that's why it's an honor and a real privilege to just be here and be a part of this in any way. And it's even a bigger honor and privilege to be able to be here and maybe and try exciting you and getting you to learn a little bit about the six constant mitzvahs. You have to think about very often, you know, I wonder why certain things fall out certain times a year. And very often during the 3 weeks, and then as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, and then the week of Tisha B'Av, we try bringing ourselves to understand and to get into the mode and in the feeling of what Tisha B'Av is about. And we'll read books about the Holocaust or any tragedies that happened in our history. And it'll sadden us and it'll get us into a certain mode. But I think, at least in my own personal feelings, very often I go to kinnis and I hear a lot of, and you just read through the kinnis and you it's heart-rendering what Klal Yisrael has gone through in the past 2,500 years. But you have to step back and ask yourself, what was this really about? What are we observing on Tisha B'Av? It's very easy to lose sight of the main point. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and all the terrible tragedies that happened since then is really a representation of something much greater and something which should really be bothering us on a deeper level. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was sticks and stones. But it represented our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his, what we would say, his anger on sticks and stones. But it affected our relationship. The 3 weeks and the 9 days and Tisha B'Av is a time where we're supposed to first think about realizing that there's an issue or there's something that needs fixing in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's brought down in many Svarim that the 3 weeks, the 21 days of the 3 weeks, correspond to the 21 days of Tishrei between Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah and Shemini Atzeres. And as I've heard explained, is that we all know the way to grow and the way to fix any, let's say, any addiction is to really first come to realization that you have a problem. These 3 weeks, and as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, these 9 days, and then the week of Tisha B'Av, is a time for us to really just focus and be saddened, not so much by the physical of what happened, but by what it really represented. We have to come to the realization that we're here during these weeks to work on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to realize that there's something that needs strengthening, something that needs working on. And through that, it'll make Tisha B'Av that more meaningful, or it makes it that we understand what we're really saddened by. We're not just saddened by the physical things that happened. We're saddened by the fact that our relationship was cut a little bit. And there's always a chance to come back, and that's really what Elul is, and then that's what it builds up into Rosh Hashanah, and all through Yom Kippur and Sukkot is mending and fixing that relationship. But the first step we have to do is realize that the relationship needs fixing. And, you know, learning the Sheish Mitzvah Tmidus at this time is really appropriate because that's what it is. It's once I've realized and I'm inspired to work on that relationship, we got to figure out now, what do I do? How do I work on that relationship? How do I build that up? What is this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidus really are the framework that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God has given us to build that relationship. It's the basic, it's the foundation to everything we do. Now, before I get into specifically the six constant mitzvahs and I explain what they are, maybe how what they've meant to me, and I'm hoping that'll mean something to you, I want to tell you a story. It's very often in life, to create change, the change doesn't have to be in the physical that we do. It's very, very often just the mindset. Let me give you an example. This past Hanukkah, it was the past Hanukkah that my family, twice a year, my extended family gets together. It's Hanukkah and usually in the summer. And at the Hanukkah get together, so the accepted custom is that everyone comes in with all the kids, the grandkids, and you don't open up the food until the Babi and the Zaidi decide that they're ready. So, this past year, we all come together, and I came a little bit early to help out. My wife wanted to set up, she made a salad. So I'm sitting there for like an hour and a half, and all the cousins are coming in. Me and a few of the cousins my age were getting a little bit restless. So we decided there was an oak tag there for something the little kids were going to do, and we decided to write a message on the oak tag and put it up. So we each, me and two of my cousins, we took oak tag and we wrote three words. We wrote, "Let's eat Bubby." And we hold it up, and everyone starts laughing at us. And we don't understand what happened. Why is everyone laughing? So my sister-in-law comes over and says, "Shai, you made a mistake. You could write three words, but if you're missing the comma, if you don't know where to put the emphasis, the whole word has the wrong meaning. We meant to be, let's eat Bubby." They were saying, it looks like, "Let's eat Bubby. We should all go and take a piece of Bubby." You have to know, very often in life, you could be doing everything right, but if you don't put the comma and you don't put the emphasis in the right place, then you miss the boat. Recently, I was at a class at Torah Masorah in Brooklyn, and Rav Matzio Solomon, the Mashkiach in Lakewood, got up, and he said, he was talking to teachers and Rebbeim, and he said, "I want to tell you people one thing. Your one goal as a Rebbe, any age group that you are, any age group that you take care of, your one goal is that the students should have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God. You want to use Gemara, you use Chumash, you use Halacha, however you want to get them there, the way you decide, the way we know if you're successful as a teacher, and also I would assume as a parent and as a human being, is how great of a relationship do you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our goal is to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever steps you take to that, whether you learn Gemara, whether you learn Halacha, whether you do acts of kindness, those are all ways, mechanisms to build that relationship. But our goal is to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting, you look into the first Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and it says, the first Ramah says, "Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid." Place HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dovah HaMelech said, place God in front of you. And on that, the Chofetz Chaim, who tells us, who defines for us so much of Halacha, says the way to live with that, the way to reach this status of Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, is to learn and live with the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidias. It's very, you have to get clear that the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidias are not something that you can say once a day. At the end of it, if you look in the Siddurim, the article Siddurim, right after Aleinu, they have very often Parshas Haman, they have the Sheish Zechiras. The Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidias are not things that you say once a day. It's not something where you can decide to keep this mitzvah. The Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidias are supposed to be our framework for living our life. Our framework for everything we do in life. The example I usually give is in the generation of computers that we're in now. And on every one of our computers, there's an antivirus running in the background. We all have that. We all want to protect our computers and everything we have, and all information, our pictures, our information from a virus. The Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidias are that antivirus in our life. They're supposed to be running in the background and making sure that every decision we make, every act we do, is in conjunction and it works well with the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidias. So that is the background a little bit of what the Sheish Mitzvahs Tamidias, the six constant mitzvahs, really are, or at least what they're supposed to be as a basic framework. My uncle one time was giving talking to me a little bit about something, and he said, it's very often in that if you have those, I think I saw them over here in Shul, the Asher Yatzer signs, and it says on them in beautiful coloring, it says, "Umi psarai echze eloka," from my body I see God. Very often that's taken to mean, on a very literal sense, is that if you look at the body, you see how amazing it works, then you'll come to the recognition there's a God. He told me, he said, "Shai, it's brought down," he said, he didn't give me an exact source, he said that very often in life, you have questions, you want to understand the aspect of certain things we do in Judaism. He says, "Umi psarai echze eloka." You look at the body, and you try finding a place where it equates, where it comes together, and from there you'll understand its importance. And he said, "Shai, the six constant mitzvahs, there are certain things in our life, that if we didn't have them constantly, we'd have a very rough life." I'll give you an example. 3 years ago on Chanukah, It wasn't the big get together. It was a little bit of a smaller get together on Shabbos Chanukah. Me, my wife, my sister-in-laws, we all got together for Shabbos at my in-laws' house. And after the Friday night Suda, my grandmother goes to her green recliner. That's the weekly thing she does. She takes out the newspaper or whatever she's reading, and she goes to the recliner. She usually falls asleep there, someone wakes her up. Anyway, at about 12 o'clock, after our schmoozing, we decided that we were going to go upstairs. So I go upstairs to where I'm staying. About 20 minutes later, I hear a screech. My mother-in-law is screaming, "Quick, call Hatzalah, come down, quick." We run down the steps, everyone's there. My grandmother had a problem, they quickly called Hatzalah. Hatzalah's there instantly. They take her to the hospital, and she had a stroke. Now, a year and a half later, two and a half years later, she's Baruch Hashem, she's home, but in the house, there's a little bit of a mini hospital. She's still in bed. She can interact a little bit. But the concept of a stroke is that what? There's something in the body that should be working constantly, and it stops. Just for a short period of time. The six constant mitzvahs are the same thing. There are constants in our life, and if you don't live with them constantly, you're taking a chance of having a spiritual stroke. And we have that in our lives. All right, we have the blood flow. We have heart pumping, breathing air. All these things. There's so many things in our life that are constant that it's so easy to take an example from the life, from our physical life, and say, "Wow, how does that apply to mitzvahs?" Oh, the six constant mitzvahs are also constant in the same way. And without them, you're taking a chance of having that stroke. That's why they're so important. They're so fundamental. It's brought down in I think in Derech Hashem that when God set up the world of mitzvahs, He set them up in a way of things that we're going to need, however often we need the reminder. The mitzvah of Shavuos, we're supposed to, in His understanding, that we should commemorate and we should relive the giving of the Torah once a year. And the same thing with all the other mitzvahs. We have Sukkot, we have Pesach, so many different mitzvahs. But He also put in Tefillin, we do every day. Tefillin, we do a few times a day. The six constant mitzvahs God set up in the world that he felt, and He obviously understood, that they need to be a part of us constantly. Because they are the foundation, the fundamental aspect of all that we do in life. And if you just take this lesson, and you learn the six constant mitzvahs, it'll exponentially change everything you do that's connected to Judaism. Because you'll have a deeper understanding of why you do it and what you're doing for, what the goal is here for. When you drive a car, and there's a red light, you could ask yourself, why is it that I have to stop by the red light? Is it because I might get a ticket? Or is it a safety concern? If I just, as a teenager, think that it's just I'm going to get a ticket, then as long as I don't see a cop, I just go through the red light. But if you understand the deeper meaning of why, the real reason behind the red light, and as a safety concern, then you'll take many more precautions, you'll be more careful about how you drive. In everything we do, in every mitzvah that we do, if you understand the background for it, if you understand the reason for it, it'll change the way you do it. It'll change the emotional connection. It'll change the power of each mitzvah. If you learn Gemara, just to understand, just to read it, and you want to make a siyum, that's beautiful. But if you understand that it's your connection, and if you learn it the right way, it can build that relationship with God, that's amazing. When I was in third year Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael, so the first day of yeshiva, so we prepared Gemara for about 2.5 hours. We come into Shir, and the Rebbe opens up his Gemara. I think it was Gemara Ksubis, and he's reading the first Mishnah, and he goes, "Am Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that this is the halacha of how to make a ksuba." And he goes, "And Am Rav Shmuel, this is the halacha." And my Rebbe reiterates, "When we say halacha, we don't just mean this is what they felt. This is the way they understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God wanted us to live our lives." And I remember looking to the guy next to me, and I say, "What Gemara does he have up there? Just says, Amar Bihuda, this is a ksuba, this is a get, what is he talking about?" And this one episode, 7-8 years ago, in yeshiva, changed my understanding about why I learn. Learning is not just intellectual understanding. Learning is about building that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm trying to understand, what does God want me to do in this relationship? How does He want me to improve on it? All it takes is a little bit of changing, putting on a new set of glasses when you do actions, and that'll change, and that'll make you grow so much more. The Sheish Mitzvot Tamidiyos are meant to help you just flick a little bit of a switch and make that every action you do, not one, not two, every action you do in Judaism will be changed. So now let's just get to the six constant mitzvahs themselves. As I said, the six counts of mitzvahs, obviously I've repeated a few times, is the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, when I was in Eretz and I was married, so after a year and a half of being married, my chavrusa, I had a new guy in the curl, and he comes in one day, and he was just recently married, and he comes in, he had a little bit of a spat with his wife that morning. So, I say, you know what, I'm not advanced as anybody. Why don't you go to the mashgiach and ask him what to do? So he goes over to the mashgiach, and the mashgiach says, "You know what? You got into a little bit of a fight. It's not a problem." He says, "Go home. Leave second seder early. Instead of coming home at 6-7 o'clock, leave a little bit early. Here's 100 shekel." He says, "Buy your wife flowers and chocolate." He says, "Flowers and chocolate. That's the key. You get it. You bring your flowers and chocolate. Don't worry. You'll be on the right path. It's okay." So my friend, he goes home a little bit early, borrows 100 shekel from the mashgiach, and he lives on a third floor apartment. And as he's coming home, he sees his wife, looks out the window, and she was surprised to see him home an hour early. And not only is she surprised, she sees him with a bouquet of flowers and chocolate. So he's walking up, and she opens the door to him, and she's got this huge smile. She's thinking, "Wow, okay, so we had a little bit of fight. But he cares about me. Look what he did. He came home early. He thought about me during the day, and he thought, wow, this is amazing." And she's like, "Wow, this is going to be great." He walks in, takes 3 steps forward, and he says, "Here, the mashgiach told me to give this to you." True story. Now, the question is, why? What's wrong with that? She got her chocolate, she got her flowers. Isn't that great? No, it's not great. You missed the point of the whole thing. It's not the flowers. The flowers represent the relationship. If you go through life and you do mitzvahs just because the mashgiach told you to, then you're going to have the same relationship that this guy had. You got to work on that relationship to make it that the flowers and the chocolate are meaningful. That's what you have to do. The six constant mitzvahs are going to build that relationship and therefore make all 607 other mitzvahs that much more meaningful. So now, let's just get down to the six constant mitzvahs themselves, now that we had enough of an introduction. So by now, for the people who have been reading through the book, we're about done with the first mitzvah of Emunah. But I'll just give a little bit of a recap. And really, I'm going to go through a small point of each of the mitzvahs. And I'll tell you just what they meant to me in a personal level. The way you're going to understand and be able to live through the Sheish mitzvahs on their own ways, if you really go through and learn it on your own, doesn't have to be right now. Obviously, once the community is doing it, it's worth it to get together right now and do it. But you have to do it, and you have to learn it so you understand the whole picture of how these six kinds of mitzvahs, A, they build up, the questions and answers that they have until they reach the point of what they mean on a practical level, and then it'll become a part of you. So I'm going to just share with you my own short thoughts on a short synopsis, I would say, on the six kinds of mitzvahs, and I'm hoping that it'll be something that you could go out with here. You'll have a complete picture, or somewhat of a complete picture, but you'll also be encouraged to go through and learn a little bit more. So the first mitzvah of Emunah. We all have heard the word Emunah. As a matter of fact, last year, the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation's video on Tisha B'Av was about Emunah. And after the video, I called up Mr. Michael Rothschild and I said, "But Michael, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Emunah, what does it mean to you? You just made this beautiful thing about proving God, right? Rabbi Reddy got up there." I said, "But I want to know, what does Emunah mean to you?" And he's like, "Oh, Emunah means believing in God." I said, "Emunah, on a very philosophical level, can mean a lot of what we saw in the videos, proving God." So I said, "But there's a constant mitzvah of Emunah. How does that apply to you right now on a constant level? What does Emunah mean to you on a constant level?" And I said, Emunah, the idea behind Emunah, and there's really 4 different ideas when the Ramban explains of Emunah, is really, Emunah is that HaKadosh Baruch created the world, He's a part of the world, He took us out of Mitzrayim, and He also gave us the Torah. Anybody who creates the world, or anybody who creates anything, has a purpose to it. We all know that. Anybody, every bench in the shul was created for a purpose. Some guy might have had the kavanah that should go to a shul. Some guy might have, maybe the guy behind it wanted just to make a little bit of money. But there's always a purpose to why something was created. We were given that hidden idea of what it was because we were given the Torah. We know what the purpose is. But the mitzvah of Emunah, on a very basic level, is to be clear and to have the understanding and live with the fact that God, He didn't just create the world. God created the world for a purpose. we each have a purpose in the world. The overall aspect of a purpose is having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lehen es miziv shechinasai. But each of us in our own way are going to reach that purpose. We each have a purpose. We have to figure out how to get to that purpose. I have a friend of mine named Charlie Harari. And he was telling me, he said that when he was in high school, so they had the high school that he was on the basketball team. And the crosstown rivals, they had a game. It was the end of the season. And it was crosstown rivals, you know how these games get heated up. So they were 1 point down, 20 seconds to go. Coach calls a timeout. And the coach calls them aside, sets a plan. You know, obviously the game plan is going to go to the big guy in the middle. He'll just do a layup and they'll win. So they all go out onto the court. The clock is winding down and the ball ends up in Charlie's hand. He has an open shot at like the free throw line. He takes a shot, he takes a look, sets his feet, bends his knees, and passes the ball out to the guy in the middle. Guy in the middle passes it to someone else, takes a shot, they lose. They go back into the locker room, and the coach says, "Hey guys, okay, it was a good game, we worked hard, maybe next time. Charlie, I want to talk to you for a few minutes." Everyone walks out, Charlie's sitting there with the coach and says, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I lost the game." The coach says, "You know, I'm not so bothered by the fact that you lost the game." He says, "Let me tell you something." He says, "I've been a coach for 12 years, okay?" He says, "I don't know what you feel about yourself, if you feel that you have the potential." He says, "But you have to have belief in me." He says, "My experience, I know who I should put on the court at what time." He says, "If you're on the court with 12 seconds left, that means I believe in you and I know you can get it done." He says, "When you have that shot, if you're on the court and you have the open shot, even if the game plan wasn't to go to you, but if you're still on that court, that means I have faith in you and you take that shot." And Charlie said, "It's amazing. That was such a wonderful lesson. Every morning we say, Modani lefanacha melachai v'kayam, shechazarte bin shemasi bechemla, and then we say, Rabbe emunasecha. God's putting us on this court of life because He has faith in every single one of us. We each have a purpose. The reason why we are here today is because we have a purpose. We are on the court of life and we got to take that shot. We got to find a way to figure out what our own personal purpose is and build that relationship and figure out how we're going to do it. But every morning when we say Moda'ani, Rabbe Amunasecha, even if I don't know what I'm here for, I know that the Master of the world has a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. All my decisions throughout my day have to be under the guidance of what is my purpose. How am I going to bring myself closer to that purpose?" So that's the mitzvah emunah. The mitzvah emunah is to just understand, to live with the concept, to live with the realization that every action has to bring me closer to that purpose. Now we get to the second mitzvah of Lo Yiyah. Now Lo Yiyah is probably the most often mentioned mitzvah in the Torah. And you know what? Most of us probably don't think it applies to us right now. When was the last time any one of us had a real temptation to bow down to an idol? Anybody here ever have that temptation? No, okay, good. That's good. One time I was in the crowd and I had one guy told me he did. So I was like a little bit nervous. But the guy told me his father was, he was a Baal Teshuva, and his father, he grew up in India, and like really they used to have in their house idols all around the house. So he used to have those things. But the mitzvah of Lo Yiyah is defined often as bowing down to idols, not believing in other gods. But when you look at the Rambam explains, what was the background to idol worship? The background to idol worship wasn't the denial of there being a god. The background of idol worship was they all understood. They all understood there was a god. But they said, "You know what? I'm going to take a shortcut. I know the secret how to bring rain anyway. I know this other secret." They didn't deny that there was a god, but they felt, and they had good intentions. They said, "Why should we bother God? He's so busy. Let me go to his servant. Let me go to someone else." And the beginning of Avodah Zarah had nothing to do with denying that there was a God. God created the world. They just wanted to get an easier way out. So that aspect of Lo Yiyah, we could see very often applies to us. Let me tell you a story. My friend, he came back from Eretz Yisrael. He was learning there for a few years, and he came back to America. And he went over to his father and said, "You know, I'm back. I have a family. Can we get a car? I need a car." So the father, "Yeah, not a problem." He says, "You know, which car are you going to get?" They decide on one of the cheaper cars. The father says, "Not a problem. Go to the accountant. you know, that works in the office, and he'll write out the check for you. And then I'll see you next month. Very good, not a problem. My friend takes the first check, goes to the Honda place, gets himself a Honda Accord. The next month, he has to bring in the next check. So my friend says, you know, I'm not going to bother my father. He's going on this vacation, he's going on this work trip. You know, let me just go straight to the accountant. He goes straight to the accountant, and the accountant says, a check? Yeah, he's like, yeah, you remember last month? I have to pay now. It's a 24-month lease. I need every month. Not a problem. The accountant says, here, take a month, take a check. Every month, I'll automatically give it to you. Perfect. After 6 months, my friend's father says, calls him up and says, you know, I don't remember what happened. I remember we spoke about getting a car, and you got that first check, and then I haven't seen you since then. What happened? My friend says, what do you mean? I don't want to bother you. You were doing business, you were vacationing, you were very, very busy. I don't want to bother you. So my friend's father says, you think I couldn't have paid for the car all in one shot? He says, I have enough money to pay for the car. He says, I was happy to pay the extra money to make it a monthly payment, and I had to pay the interest just so that you'll come to me. Just so that you'll come to me once a month and ask me for the check. You taking the shortcut of going to the accountant lost out on building that relationship. Yeah, we get together on Shabbos, and very often, yeah, you'll call me, but just to get you to come to my office where you're going to have to pick up that check once a month would have given me another half hour of time with you that we could have spent alone. You try taking that shortcut and you lost out on that half hour. In life, there are many times where we could take a shortcut. But that's not what God wants. Lo Yia is telling us that there's a path that God assigns for us to reach our purpose. Don't try taking a shortcut away from that. Don't try saying, you know what, I think I have a better idea than God in this one. Very often I think, I use as an example, I use Robin Hood. I think it's Robin Hood. Robin Hood's idea was, he had a good idea. He felt he had a good purpose. He was going to help the poor. But how was he going to help them? By stealing from the rich. We have to realize that even though if you have a purpose and you've realized how to get there, don't take the wrong path there. Lo yelecha Elohim achirim is telling us that you got to make sure you're taking the right path towards that purpose. Don't lose focus, because the purpose is not only the end goal, but it's also the path that we get there. I was a few months ago, I had to go to physical therapy for my knees, and I was going there for a few months, and at one point he was like working me very hard, and I just like he would come to me, tell me what to do, go on, pick up these weights or go running over here, and then he would go on to the next patient. So at one point I said, you know, I was just too tired. I just sat down for 20 minutes, and when he came back in, he's like, so did you do it? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Let's go on to the next thing. And after that session, I went home and my feet were killing. I remember I was trying to walk up the steps holding my daughter, and it hurt me, and I couldn't understand why. And when I came back the next time, I was telling him the doctor that, oh, it hurt me more. I thought we were getting better. We were close to the end. And then he's like, Shai, let me ask you a question. He's like, have you been doing the exercise that I told you? When you were here last time, did you really do all the work? And I'm like, well, you know, I was tired and you worked me hard. He's like, that was the problem. He says, the goal over here in the physical therapy is to work you hard. Because that's the only way you're going to get healthy. Don't think you could find a shortcut, Shai. Don't think you could cheat out of this. There's a path, there's a prescription about how to get healthy. If you don't take the medicine, you're not going to get healthy. In life, there's a purpose. There's a way to build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you try skipping out on it, you're not going to get there. There's no shortcut there. Lo yes, to realize that there is a path to that purpose. Don't try being like me and trying to cheat the doctor. Realize there's a path, and that path defines everything we do in life, whether it's business, whether it's relationships, whether it's the way ben adam lachavero, ben adam lakum, and ben adam la'atzmai. You have to know who yourself are. Lo yeah, don't try cheating out of that relationship by taking a shortcut. So that was Amunah, was the purpose and the path. Lo yeah is don't take the wrong path. Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's the national anthem to the Jews. We all teach our kids right when they're born. Every night when they go to sleep, we teach them. That's what we tell them. It's on our doorpost. It's in our tefillin. We say it twice a day. But what's the constant aspect of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? In Emunah, the Rambam already explained to us that Emunah defines that there's a God who created the world and that God is one. What could Yichud Hashem be adding? To me, what I learned in Yichud Hashem was amazing. Very often, you go through life and you're inspired to do something better, to grow, to take on another type of learning, another chesed, or to take on anything, take on some positive trait. And you decide, okay, next day, I'm going to wake up early, I'm going to go to shachris. I'm going to go full day, I'm going to go to the early shachris, maybe learn before. So, you get in your car in the morning, you put the key into the car, the car is dead. And you sit there and you're like, you're wondering, God, I don't understand. I'm up here at 6 in the morning, I got up early to go learn, why? What's up with this? I'm trying to do the right thing. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, is that everything is godliness. Everything is bringing you towards that purpose. There's no such thing as the Yetzer Hara trying to get you to fall. The Yetzer Hara is there to make you grow. The Yetzer Hara is like that doctor who was telling me to work out a little bit better. Everything is a step, is an aspect of godliness. The Yetzer Hara works for God. Right? Yichud Hashem means if everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if everything is from God, who created the Yetzer Hara? God. If God has a goal for us, there's no difference between the Yetzer and the Yetzer Tov, it's just different paths. He wants us to get there. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad is the realization that everything that happens, there's no difference. You can't. There's no difference between the president and the guy who's holding the door for the president. They're all there because God said so. They're all doing their purpose, and they're all the growth that happens from everything that happens, even the bad, even what looks like difficulties, and like what looks like things that are going wrong, is all from God. And if it's godliness, then it's meant for our growth. It's meant for helping us. We might have to figure it out. And sometimes it's very, very challenging to understand it. But that doesn't mean it's not from Him. The Yetzer Hara is there to help us grow. If everything would be easy, if we would just have the Yetzer Tov, if everything would just be easy, you would never grow. Your muscles would never grow, right? You go to the gym, you work out. If you're always picking up the 5-pound weights and you never go up the next level, your muscles won't grow. You gotta work it out. You gotta go a little bit more. That is Yichud Hashem. That there's a Yetzer Hara there to help you grow. Not to cause you to stumble. He wants you to take that step and get over and get to the next level. And on a certain level you would say, He's really the one who's helping you grow. Because the Yetzer Tov was telling you to do good. That's not the challenge. The challenge is to overcome. Yesterday I heard, I was at my nephew's bar mitzvah, and someone said that Rabbi Reisman, I don't know which one, I think Rabbi Reisman said that the idea of Bechira that we have is not so that we can do good. It's not that we can do what we want. Animals also just do whatever they want. The concept of Bechira is that I can make the decision to go against what I think I want and do what I really want. To go against what my natural thing would be, that I'm hungry, I want to eat, and we should hold back from it until I make a bracha. The concept of Bechira is to strengthen yourselves and hold yourself back. And that's where the growth happens in life. The growth happens when you have that Yetzer Hara. When you have that conversation with the Yetzer Hara and you win, that's where the growth happens. That's where you have that step closer to purpose. That's what Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad is. Everything is connected to godliness and to that purpose in life. And we say it twice a day to remind ourselves. When you cover your eyes and you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, think about what happened in the past hour, maybe the past day, and say, how did that connect me to godliness? You walk into your house and you have a mezuzah on the door. You look and you say, okay, how's going into the house? The challenges I'm going to have, how is that going to bring me closer to God? Everything, it's surrounding us. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad is surrounding us. It is the most fundamental aspect of being a true Torah is to understand that everything is from God. And everything has one-minded focus to bring us towards that purpose. So those are the first three mitzvahs. Emuna, Lo'iya, and Yichud Hashem. Those are very, what you would say, the philosophical ones. Now we get to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Now, I have to be honest with you, Avas Hashem personally to me is probably has always been one of the most difficult mitzvahs to live with. What does it really mean to be an Oyev Hashem? What does it mean to really love God? It's it's easier to have, you know, if you want to take an example, we have relationships in our lives, whether it's with our family, with our siblings, with people around us. But there, it's someone who we can interact with. It's very hard to be an Oyev Hashem. That's why I always had that challenge. And I was sitting in the car this past Pesach with my brother, and he said, and I was talking to him about this. And he said, Shai, let me tell you what Avas Hashem is. Okay? He said, Shai, my brother was married for about 4 years, 5 years, living in Israel without any children. And he lived in a community of a lot of young couples in Maladafna. So there, where there's a lot of young couples, people are having children constantly. So it was very hard on him. But not only did he live in Maladafna, he owned a baby's store of clothing. So it was like constantly getting pushed into him the fact that so many people were coming to buy clothing and he couldn't. And it was heart-wrenching. It was very hard on him. And he said that one, he said, not this past Rosh Hashanah, but the Rosh Hashanah before that, he got called up for an aliyah, a special aliyah that's a zichus to have a child. And he got called up for the aliyah. After the aliyah, he asked the gabbai, he said, you know, who bought this for me? She's like, it was an anonymous donation. I'm not allowed to tell you. 9 months to the day was my brother's son's birth. Now, my brother said, look, Shai, I don't understand this whole skula thing. I don't know how these things work. He says, but push come to shove, I want to know who bought that aliyah for me. Because whether or not I believe that it really happened because of that, I don't know, but I got to say thank you to him. Someone went out of their way and did such a nice thing. They bought an aliyah for me without me knowing. He says, I just want to show my appreciation. I just want to say thank you, give him a big hug. He said, Shai, that's Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is stepping back and appreciating the things that happen in our lives that are so good. I was in shul the other day, and there was a guy davening there. He had his hand in his pocket. He had a sitter on the table, and he was turning the pages as he davened. And then he turns around to the back of the shul where I was, and to turn the page, he takes out his other hand. And the other hand was just a stump. He didn't have a hand, he just had a stump. And I thought about it, I said, can you imagine this guy has a beautiful smile on his face? And I've seen him around before, he's always smiling, always talking always so nicely, and he's missing a hand, or part of a hand. I said, can I imagine? At that point, I turned to him, I said, wow. I said, Kosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much, I don't have to go through that. But it's just, if I would spend one day where I would wrap my hand up in a cast and just say, appreciate what you have. So many things in our lives, so many small things that we have to learn to appreciate. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, before I got married, I had problems with my throat. I was hoarse constantly. I just couldn't talk. And the doctor told me, Shai, if you want to get better, you can't talk. Don't make a sound for a week. 7 days, don't talk. And I remember sitting there, and I'm like, what? Don't talk? What does that mean? And honestly, I didn't make it through the whole time. I made it 5 days. But during those 5 days, I was sitting on my porch outside of my dorm room, out looking over Yerushalayim, and I was appreciating what it means to be able to talk to people. Here I am sitting by myself on my porch because I couldn't have a chavrusa, I had no one to talk to. So I sat, that's why I learned that chazur masechta is getting. And I learned to appreciate, look at that, the fact that you could talk, the speech, so many of us, it's so easy for us. Make a list. Every day, just make a list of one thing that you appreciate. One thing that you have. At the beginning, it's very easy because you have your eyesight, you have certain parts of your health, you have your hands, your feet, so many things, but once a day. And then every Rosh Chodesh just review that. It'll be an overflowing want to just say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to God. This person who gives us so much. Don't you want to just say thank you to Him? Don't you want to have a relationship? Don't you want to connect to Him? This person who constantly gives me so much. Avas Hashem is to appreciate all that we have. And it's so many little things. Don't let it take the times where tragedy has to happen where we learn to appreciate it. Right now, start. Make a list. One thing a day, that's all it is. I'm not 10 or 15. One thing a day. And when you say V'ahavta, when you daven every day, you say Shema, think about that one thing for that day. You're saying Shema twice a day anyway. At the end of the month, Rosh Chodesh, you have that list. You go through it once a month, just review those 30 things. You'll automatically have this overflowing emotion to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you'll to someone who gives you so much, you'll be like, wow, I love that person. And you'll want to connect to them. You want to build that relationship. But you have to be careful. Because after 30 days of writing all these great things that you have, you might get into the mode of where you're saying, you know what, this person loves me so much. He gives me eyesight. He gives me my health. He gives me my family. He just loves me. You know what, I could probably get away with anything. Anything I do, I go over here every day and he still has my health today. You end up, this love builds up to so much that you almost think like, there's nothing that's going to take it away. That's where we get to the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, very often you think about and we think of fear in a relationship and we don't understand how that fits in. How does fear fit into a relationship? We think of fear, we think about the things that are going to happen to us, the Gehenna. No, no, no. Yiras Hashem is not thinking about any of those things. Yiras Hashem is, you just learned about Avos and you want to build that relationship. Yiras Hashem is, be afraid of ruining that relationship. God gave us rules and He says, you want to have a relationship with me? This is what we do. This is how we build it. If you go against those rules, you're ruining that relationship. Who would ever want to ruin a relationship with a millionaire father who's every day writing out a check for you? You wouldn't want to ruin that. That's your lifeline. So if we have that same lifeline in our physical and our spiritual, would you want to ruin that? Yiras Hashem, fear of God, is not fear in the way we think about it, that I'm afraid of bad things that are going to happen. I don't want to ruin that relationship. I have this wonderful relationship with this being that I haven't seen yet. But he does oh so much good for me. Do I want to ruin it? Do I want to cut it off? Do I want to sever it in any which way possible? Yiras Hashem is realizing that there's spiritual consequences to everything we do. And we have to make sure that we don't cause those consequences in a negative way. Work on that relationship. Everything bad that happens, everything that we do that's negative has a reaction. We have to make sure we build on that relationship and not go the other way. So now we have a very basic five steps, five understandings of having that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emunah is, we have to have a purpose and a path to that purpose. Lo Yeh is, don't take another path. Realize there's a specific path. The general path is mitzvahs, and now you have to see how that applies to you. Yichud Hashem number three is realizing that everything from A to Z that happens in our lives is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is a part of our life constantly. Avas Hashem is the first step in that relationship. You have to love God. You have to appreciate what He's given you. But Yiras Hashem, make sure you don't take it too far. Often the example I give with Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem is that, or really in all these mitzvahs, is that you have to have, hold it right now. Before we get to, we're going to get to Leisa Suru now. The sixth mitzvah, Leisa Suru, Achel Avachem V'Achre Einechem. Also, it's part of our Shema, we say, in the third paragraph. And it's very often understood to mean, you're not allowed to look at the internet. Don't see anything. Don't go places. Don't read things that aren't appropriate. What's the constant of Leisa Suru, Achel Avachem V'Achre Einechem? Leisa Suru is not as philosophical as all the other previous mitzvahs. Leisa Suru, Achel V'Achem V'Achre Einechem, is really what's going to hold all the mitzvahs together. Our lev and our eyes have potential for good and for bad. We have to make sure, Leisa Suru, don't go after them. Chazal say your eyes see, your heart desires, and then you do an avera. But if you make sure to put your heart in control, your mind in control first, then you won't follow after your eyes or your heart. The first five mitzvahs that we do are making sure that we develop the mindset of how we live our lives. Leisa Suru Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Einechem is telling us, don't get distracted. Don't let the emotional aspects, don't let the heart or the eyes control you. Make sure that your mind is in control. So that when you want to do something, when you have what they would call it, when you have a taiva to do something, you'll ask yourself, does that fit in with my overall purpose? Does that fit in with the path that God has given me? Leisa Suru Achel Avachem V'Achrei Einechem is the practical aspect of making sure these mitzvahs stay a part of us. Don't get distracted. Take preventative measures. Very often, well, not very often, not very often, but in law, when there's a drunk driver, so the person gets, he goes to court. Why can't the person, a drunk driver, plead insanity? At that point in time, he wasn't sane when he was driving drunk. And the way I understand it is that we're not punishing you so much for what you've done, for the outcome. We're punishing you because you didn't take the precaution. You didn't take the necessary precaution before. You didn't give your keys to someone else. You didn't take the steps that you should have taken before you decided to drink. Is give your keys to someone else. Make sure you don't let your eyes and your heart take control of you. They are so tempting. There's so many things out there that automatically your eyes are constantly working. You walk down the street and they're absorbing everything that's happening around you. But don't let them take control. Absorb it. Take it in. Use them. But use them in the work of your mind, in the work of what we just worked on, of Emunah, and Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Lo Yia, and Yichud Hashem. Let your eyes and your heart follow your mind. As I said before, when you drive a car, there's two things in every car you need. You have to have the gas pedal, which is the emotion, but you also have to make sure there's the brake. But both, that's Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Avas Hashem is the gas pedal, the emotional aspect of going forward. Yiras Hashem is you don't want to, you step on the brake when your things are going too quick. But you have to make sure that you also are driving the car appropriately. The steering wheel is the mind. It's only going to go in your Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem is only going to go in the direction of where your mind lets it to go. Leisa Suru is make sure you took the proper precautions that you're going in the right direction. Make sure that you know where you're heading. Make sure that you have the directions of how to get from A to Z. Don't let yourself get caught up and take shortcuts here or there. Leisa Suru is going to hold together all of the six constant mitzvahs. Rabbi Reisman, who I mentioned before, he one time he was in yeshiva and before the days of the cell phones, he got a beep from his wife. His wife beeped him, and the rule with him and his wife was that he wouldn't answer the beep until after mincha. He gave a shir, 15-minute shir in halacha. Then he would answer he would call her back. He got this beep about 1 o'clock. Mincha wasn't until 1:30. He called her back at 2 o'clock, and his wife says, "You know, one of the people in your shul called up and says it's an emergency. You got to call him up. Call him up at work." So Rabbi Reisman calls up his congregant at work, and the guy says, "Rabbi, I don't know what to do." He's like, what's the problem? He's like, I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Everybody else is like, you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei? I'm on the phone with you. What do you mean you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei? And you've been in the middle of Shmona Esrei for the past half hour? Since my what does that mean? So the guy says, you know what? Every day, I work in an office, and every day in the boardroom, that's where we daven mincha. So today, we daven mincha, and my Shmona Esrei was going a little bit longer. But they were having a meeting in this room right away, so they rushed mincha and they were kicking everyone out. I'm sitting there in the corner, davening Shmona Esrei, and one of the guys from the firm pushes me and says, "Let's go, you gotta get out of here." So I didn't know what to do, and I walked out of the boardroom and I went to my office. And since then, I've been doing my work, but I've been waiting for you to give me a call. Tell me, where do I go from here? Do I start Shmona Esrei over again? Was I good? Was I not? What do I do now? I've been sitting here for the past half hour working, but waiting for your call. So Rabbi Reisman said, forget about the halachic aspect of that. Can you imagine, for the past 45 minutes, this guy's been sitting in his office, knowing that he's in the middle of Shmona Esrei. He's in the middle of talking to God. He took a little bit of a break, but he knows right now, still any second, I'm going to continue my conversation with God. The Sheish Mitzvahs Tzmidias are that, where you live your life with God constantly. You're sitting there in the office, and you're doing tax returns, you're doing law, you're in a doctor, whatever you're doing. But you're living with God constantly. He's with you. Where you go, He's holding your hand, He's helping you. And you're living your life based on His dictates. That's what the Sheish Mitzvot Tzmidias are, and that's what their goal to get you is. Just to end off, I want to end off with a story and also an example of how when I give this class in colleges, on college campuses to kids who aren't from, I call this God's 6-point plan to success. Because I believe if you take the lessons of each of these mitzvahs and you apply them to anything you do in life, it'll make you so much more successful. Just to give you an example, or just to really make the main points, the first idea is in life, you have to have a purpose. You have to have a goal. Where are you heading and how are you getting there? That's emunah. Lo yeh is once you decided on how you're getting there, try not to take any detours. Don't take any shortcuts. Because the shortcuts ain't going to get you to your goal. Yichud Hashem is to make sure you're focused on that purpose, on that goal. I was one time, I was giving this class to a group of kids in Brooklyn College. So I asked one kid, give me an example, what do you want to do? She's like, oh, I want to be a millionaire. Great. So we got the first part of Emunah down pat. How do you want to get there? He's like, you know what? This kid wasn't a real study or studious kid. He's like, you know what? I want to rob a bank. Okay, what's to rob a bank? No problem. Now we got Emunah. We got down what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I said, lo yeh is, don't try taking any other paths there. Don't think that studying is going to make you rich. You've thought of your path. You know how you're going to get there. Stick with that path. I'm not telling you it's the right path, but you know, that's what you decided on. I'm going to get rich. How? By robbing a bank. Lo yeh is, don't take any other path. Yichud Hashem is one-minded focus about robbing that bank. You got to think of all the ways to do it. You got to be going into the bank and look at all the cameras, look it around. Yichud Hashem is focusing on how I'm going to rob that bank. One-minded focus. Avas Hashem is you got to be excited. You got to think about how you're going to spend that money and get yourself really excited about that. Yiras Hashem is you got to realize that if you decide to change your path, if you decide to make a new focus, anything you do might be detrimental to becoming rich and famous by robbing a bank. Yiras Hashem is you got to realize there's going to be a consequence to changing anything that you do. And Loisa Suru Achel Avachem V'Achrei Enechem in this example is don't even change your purpose. Don't get distracted by saying, you know what, I don't want to become rich, I just want to become famous. You got to make sure that whatever you decided in your first five steps in life, however you want to become successful by having a purpose, by having the right path to get to that purpose, by not changing the purpose, by one-minded focus and being excited about it, anything you want to do, don't get distracted to find any other purpose. Don't decide that you want to become a doctor now. You've got your focus. Don't get distracted. Just to end off with one story, is that after the war, after the Holocaust, people came to America and rebuilt their lives. And there was a guy who, he would go through his life, and he was always saying, ay, 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 always kvetching. And everyone, especially his kids, were afraid to bring up, you know, about what happened. Why do you do that? Why do you kvetch so much? But finally, his oldest son got engaged. And he was coming to the son says, you know, Tad, do me a favor. Tonight, you're going to meet my future in-laws. Do me a favor, please. When they ask you how you're doing, when they ask you your name, don't say, ay, ay, ay. Don't crash. Do me this favor, please. So he says, son, for you, not a problem. But I just want to tell you the background to why I say, ay, ay, ay. He says, during the Holocaust, I started off in yeshiva, and we had a group of guys, me and six friends. And we were taken to the concentration camps. And they worked us hard. They worked us like crazy. And the way that we decided, the way we were going to get through it was that we were going to chazer over, we were going to review all of the Gemara that we had learned together as a group. So we started going through different masachtas, different shiurim that we learned. We started reviewing it and we would discuss it out loud as we did the back-breaking labor. He says, and after 2-3 weeks, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, saw that we weren't breaking. They saw that we were still holding strong. So they said, you know what? No more talking to each other, you guys. That's it. You guys can't discuss. I don't know what you guys are saying anymore, but no more talking to each other during your work. We came back to the barracks that night and we said, what are we going to do now? So that night we decided that, yes, we can't talk to each other, but we're going to say Tehillim. Each of us in our own way will say Tehillim. So the next day we go out to work. And we're each saying Tehillim. We're going through as many puts of Tehillim that we know. And again, after 2 or 3 weeks of back-breaking labor, we were still strong. Our spirit was still strong. And the Nazis decided that no more talking about anything. No more saying anything. Now you're not talking anymore, but you're saying heebie-jeebie words. I don't know what you guys... No more Hebrew words. That's it. I don't want any of this. They come back and say, what are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do from now on? What's going to keep us strong? So this guy said, the father said, we realized that all they wanted for us was to kvetch and to complain. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to kvetch and complain. We're going to go out to work and we're going to say, ay, 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 so difficult. But you know what ay, ay, ay stands for? If I had a chart, I would tell you, ay, ay, ay stands for the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidias. Aleph is Emunah. The Yud is Lo'iyah. The Aleph is Echad. Then there's Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Le'sosu, Achavach, Vachrei, Einechem. That's a little bit where it doesn't fit in so well. But they lived through the Holocaust and they kvetched their life away because you know why? They focused on the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidias. If in those difficult times they could live with the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidias, and that gets them through life, can't we? The Chinuch, when he brings down the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidias, he gives a siman. He says, what's a siman ladavar? What's the siman to the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidias? Sheish Ari Miklat Tien Alachem. There'll be an Ir Miklat to you. What? What's the connection? The Prima Gadam explains, and he says that just like the Ir Miklat saves a person who doesn't have Ir, so kill someone b'shogeg, if you go into the Ir Miklat, you're saved. If you live with the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidias, they surround you like an Ir Miklat, and they save you. Learn the Sheish Mitzvahs, but more importantly, live with the Sheish Mitzvahs. And there will be our Sheish Ar Miklat Tien Alachem. Thank you very much.